This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle. It is unradio. It is unscripted. And because of the absolutely filthy mouth and filthy minded Claire Petra, it is absolutely uncensored.
Am I really dirty mouthed?
Yes. We are thankful for that.
We are hoping. All the time hoping. Can't lose your hope.
Because that's what you're here for.
Okay. That's what I'm here for.
So do it well.
Well, if you can't talk dirty, at least tell us dirty facts. Maybe that will help us to get the dirty mouth going.
Maybe.
Yeah. So very cool to have you here again. Thank you
for having me. Yeah, it's great to be here.
It is very cool. Nice. So let's put that on and that up and let us do this first.
Ninja sex.
Chocolate starfish.
Twitter bag.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
phallophilia.
Dirty dictionary word.
Phallophilia. WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090 and tell us what you think phallophilia is.
Do you tell us at the end of the show?
Well,
I can't remember.
We're going to discuss.
You have to take a guess first.
Say it again.
So, phallophilia. So, just kind of holding your arms up in an I don't know gesture is the wrong answer.
Maybe something like fellow. Hello. Fellow. No. Phallic. It's something phallic. Something so, love cocks.
Or something fellatio like?
Okay.
So sweet. With your like fellowship. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Sorry,
so,
Mom.
WhatsApp us 079-748-2090 and tell us what you think phallophilia is.
Mm.
Message us and tell us about your tech sex experiences. Have you had sex with a robot? And would you ever? Have you watched virtual porn? And what did it do for you?
Which is a big thing. It's becoming.
Well, I don't know how big a thing it's becoming, but it's a thing. And it's happening out there. So that's what we are talking about. So I have to tell you, we were at Mozambique last week up in Mozambique.
Yeah.
There were whales in the bay, which were absolutely amazing. Yeah, and in a few weeks when we go back for our retreat, there are going to be whales and dolphins around, which is awesome. And
how long is your retreat for? Sorry.
4 days.
4 days. Nice.
Four nights.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
4 nights, 3 dolphin launches, the most amazing life-changing program, amazing food, beautiful beach, really cool accommodation. It's awesome.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And then got to go visit our website, www.eroslife.co.za. We put up a survey.
Okay.
So every week there's going to be a new survey. This one's about sex toys.
Mm.
So go and take the survey, and in a little while we will start to release the results of the survey. Lots of fun.
Cool.
So go and check out the survey.
Cool.
Do you get really to test good. Them? Can I go for a free drive or
of what?
Of the sex toys. Like if you can try each and every, like what is your favorite?
You can do what you like.
Okay. Can you put pictures up? This is me trying which is my favorite.
No.
Okay. John, you've changed. You've changed.
You can try. Well, the
can
website
I send you
has a different
DM.
Focus.
Can I send you it in private?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Then you can. Thanks. Beyond that.
Okay, I won't shock.
Beyond that, you can do what you like.
All right.
So, it's been a while since we have spoken about sex and technology. Mm-hmm. What has changed in the world?
Okay. I think virtual realities come in quite strongly.
Mm.
You know, you wear a headset and you can see things or But I think what's coming now is a lot of sensory sort of technology.
So it's so moving into a whole different realm.
So it's really embracing the whole touch and experience, not only the see experience. Mm. So you're really getting into the whole feeling of each other and you know, sort of gloves, full-on suits, all that kind of stuff.
So are the full-body suits totally sensorial?
Yeah. You can, there's all sorts of ways of doing it. There's little pads you can wear. There's full-body suits that you'll be wearing. Yeah.
There's pressure suits.
Pressure, exactly. All sorts of things you can find now that are out there.
Okay.
Sort of trying to stimulate people. But I did want to mention.
Yes.
There's a documentary, I think it's a Netflix or a Showmax documentary at the moment, and it's about three guys that are building women for themselves. So it's not just a blow-up doll kind of thing.
I've seen a little bit of this.
It's so interesting. I mean, you go through, it's kind of a roller coaster of emotions for someone like me, because I'm thinking, firstly, on a personal level, I think, shame these poor guys, because they've either been hurt or something's happened to them that they don't want to relate to women in that way. But then you also think, what a great step for technology, because they're out there trying to build these robots. And I mean, it gets a bit uncomfortable sometimes because there's a robot on its hands and knees thrusting backwards and forwards and things like that. But it's a really interesting documentary on what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I found it it's enlightening in a way, because you just see what's out there.
Yeah.
And it's not, oh, they're pervs or anything like that. It's actually just an interest of, you know, merging sex and technology, which is, I mean, since the condom, that's basically what's been happening, you know?
You know, it's fascinating because I have a similar perspective in terms of, and I was thinking about this yesterday afternoon, was that technology is really moving at such a pace in terms of sex, which it always has done. Like the first internet payment gateway, for example, came from a sex site.
Yes.
So the sex industry has been responsible for so many technological advances. But emotionally, we haven't kept up with that at all.
Mm.
And I was trying to think of a word, because it's not moral, it's not ethical. There's something else about it that in one way takes us away from human, takes us away from contact, takes us away from intimacy. Mm. But on the other hand, it's this amazing avenue of exploration.
Mm.
And I found it quite fascinating, this absolute kind of paradox and juxtaposition of these two.
Exactly. Yeah.
That on one level, it is a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Especially for my whole journey and work is all about intimacy and connection.
Yeah.
But there are these amazing experiences to be had out there.
Well, this documentary kind of highlights how, because it's obviously men building these robots, and you're thinking, you know, I can imagine women coming away from that documentary going, oh, men, typical, all they want is sex kind of thing. They don't have to relate to this person. They don't have to da 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 da. But I don't think it's about that. Maybe it is about that for the release, but they could still, I mean, the one man is married, but he still builds this doll.
Mm.
So, you know, he's got the one relationship with an actual female and the other relationship with the doll, you know. Mm. And I think that's, it's not
black and white. It's like might have some desire for intimacy and some desire for extremely harsh, crazy sex that your wife is not willing to give you.
Yeah, maybe you respect her enough that that's not what she...
So by the same token, you have to think, would women do the same thing? And given an opportunity or space, I have no doubt in a way. Mm. Because I think a lot of women would like that same kind of relationship, not necessarily with a human partner.
Mm. Mm.
And we've said, it's been said that, you know, relationships with full-on robots are coming in a way. And the one thing it does is it gives people a level of safety.
Yeah.
You don't have to... You're revealing yourself, but in a space that's not vulnerable.
Exactly like that.
And that's
you're not putting yourself out there.
No, and
to
you're
be
not.
Hurt.
Mm. Yeah. So the interesting thing about that is, and it's something I've come to understand recently, is that we think that we're protecting ourselves from being hurt when we close our hearts off. But what we're actually doing more of is we're not sharing our real selves.
Mm.
So it's not a semi-permeable membrane that lets some stuff in and keeps some stuff out. You either let it all in or you let nothing in.
Mm.
You either let it all out or what you're letting out is a mask. And most people have relationships from mask to mask. They're not these authentic relationships.
It's something, Jonty.
That's a fascinating idea.
If you are aware of who you are, if you're starting to go through a hard journey, and you, as you said, there's no two ways about it. If you close your heart, you close your heart, full stop. But you are aware that your partner is maybe not sex machine and his libido is lower, and you respect that. Then the question, if it's from consciousness, if it's really coming from I really want to have 40 minutes or an hour and a half. You know, women have so many more toys already. Mm. Women are using much more toys for actual pleasure because of, Jonty, what you always teach us, that it takes 20 minutes at least to get aroused, that we need G-spot touch and we need deeper, you know, to get to the A-spot, to get to the cervix, to get all these points that even if our partners are able and willing, many times it's not always they're in the mood. Mm. So the question is, why?
Yeah.
Why are we going to get those robots? Maybe that's an interesting...
Look, don't you think it's typical, it's like normal economic supply and demand, you know? Women and men want something and somebody's going to be out there.
Humanity wants something.
And the interesting thing then, I guess, I never thought of this before, but what does it do to, for example, the prostitution industry?
Mm.
So, I mean, imagine, let's call it an automated brothel, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
Where in every room there is the robot of your absolute ultimate fantasy. Mm. And I thought about this actually yesterday as well, that one aspect of this is it allows you to go and explore fantasies that you would not express in reality for various reasons that might be too extreme.
Mm.
And I think that's possibly one of the spaces that virtual porn has.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe just, you know, I know prostitution is quite a dangerous game, can be.
Well, where it's legalized in Germany, for instance, it's actually less dangerous
but
game.
But I mean like being beaten up and that, you know, you hear all those
weird
and wonderful stories. Mm. Now, if you did that to a robot, it wouldn't
it wouldn't hurt them.
Do you know what I mean? I think you'd have quite an expensive bill at the end of your event. Yeah. But you'd still, you know, you it sounds awful, but maybe it'll help save, you know, well, not save, but keep some of these girls safe that are in an illegal industry.
That's an interesting point.
You know, it's a possibility that says if there was a way for people to express those behaviors, because in that way, nobody is getting hurt.
Mm.
But again, it doesn't change anything inside the person.
Mm.
So if something is pathological, that doesn't necessarily heal it in any way.
Yeah.
And that becomes an issue. So it's simply the expression of it, but there's nothing going deeper into it. There's no authenticity in that. Yeah. Actually, I'd like to get Galen's take on that. It would be an interesting discussion. So it does become fascinating and it does offer possibilities in different ways that maybe, and that moves into a moral, a moral space.
Mm. No, the other thing I wanted to just quickly mention, you were talking about emotion and stuff. If you listen to these gents at the end of the, not the one who's married, but the other two, that there is, you know, there's a bit of sadness about it because it's like they've resigned themselves to the fact that they're only going to be able to get robots. And that's how you know, initially you're like, oh, why would you want to? And then you're like, oh, this is interesting. And then you're like, oh, my goodness. And then you're like, oh, shame, you know. I can see why he'd want to. He doesn't get hurt this way. He doesn't. It's a protection for him.
Yeah,
so you can imagine women who I'm not supposed to generalize, but can be a bit more emotional, might want to go down that route because they know they're not going to get their hearts broken. Their robot's going to be in the cupboard for them, just like their dildo is in the drawer, you know, that kind of thing.
It's not an intimacy.
No.
But it's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So what else did you find?
Okay, so I found Oculus Rift, which is a type of virtual reality, those kinds of glasses.
Yeah.
They're coming up with they've partnered with something called Leap Motion. So they combine a VR headset with Leap Motion, and it allows the user's hand, so not a controller, to interact with the virtual world. So you can it kind of elevates the experience to a point that is indistinguishable from reality. So that's,
you're going to have to explain that slowly.
So you touch, the thing in the virtual reality responds to your touch.
So you're wearing gloves with sensors, for example.
It's you completely.
Yeah, tweeting. I'm tweeting the picture now.
Yeah. So you're wearing the headset and you can just touch yourself, you can touch something else.
And you're getting really the sensation of it.
Immersed in that experience. Mm. And by the looks of things, you can do it with a partner as mm-hmm. well. So, you know, you can get involved.
So you can both be wearing
yeah.
these suits.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
It is no, very interesting.
No bodily fluids involved? Yeah. No bodily fluids
clean,
involved.
Clean up crew on aisle three, yeah. that kind of thing.
I'm going to...
Yeah, there's lots of interesting things. Mm. There's also like a haptic workstation. So it's a visual immersion into pornographic experience. So basically you are in... the porno, if that mm-hmm. makes sense, which is another, so again, you've got kind of robotic arms, you're wearing the headset, that kind of thing, and you get involved in that way. Mm. But you are just sitting in a seat, but you can see everything.
Okay. So I've never had a virtual porn experience.
Okay.
I know that they had them at
I
Sexpo.
I say okay, like I have. No, it. I haven't.
Okay. So if anybody has, yes. please message us and let us know what the experience was. Like, yeah. what did you get from it? How arousing was it? And just simply, what was it like?
Because really love to hear that. If you're doing it at something like Sexpo, is it a public thing or are you hidden away? Like, I don't understand how they would do it in public, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to buy a virtual headset just for one experience on it. You know, I mean, that's a bit expensive, I think.
No, it's not. It's not still in the can. Okay, let me just get 2,000 rand worth of. It's not.
Yeah, I'll just get some gear and see if I like it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd really love to hear from you if you have had this experience. Okay. Interesting one. And like, do you orgasm just from that? I'd really like to hear that from people.
Yeah. Well, it looks in the article like it's not really penetration. There's not like
no.
Real genital. So, you know, Jonty, all the things you're telling us and teaching us about the reality of so many nerve endings and, you know, different spots that arouse different areas in the brain. Here it sounds like you can get to that climax, which is very superficial. You know, that quick, shallow arousal of really it's exciting, you know, and I'm sure it's actually getting you to get excited. But what you're raising, Jonty, is super interesting. What happens if you start to develop emotions or go into, you know, kind of like work around arousal in the more in the head, but your body's actually not being touched properly? Yeah.
So arousal in the head is physiological.
Yeah.
So the body and the brain work together in
sure.
that, in terms of the stimulation.
The haptics is about as yeah. well. So that's what that sitting and being a robot kind of thing yeah. is about. Yeah.
But there's no emotional involvement.
No.
So the interesting thing then is if you're looking for emotional involvement, because that's what a lot of people are actually looking for, is the emotional connection. Is this going to be more fulfilling or is it going to be less fulfilling? Is it going to kind of accentuate your loneliness? Because even though you're having a deeper sensory experience,
are you going to walk away from it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is it going to accentuate the separation, the loneliness that you feel?
Yeah.
Or because it's a fuller sensory experience with a deeper level of sensation, is that going to be more fulfilling? So it's kind of a long-term study that somebody would have to do to kind of come up with that.
Mm.
It would be an interesting thing.
For now, it looks like it's just answering a need.
Yeah.
Answering a need of, people talk about all the time, or they think they should have more sex.
Mm. That release maybe as well.
So somebody just messaged me saying, come visit, I'll show you what VR porn is all
really?
About.
Really?
Yes, so we're going
we
to have to make
invitation?
A visit there. I promise you, I know the source of the mess. It's an open invitation.
Okay.
It's an open invitation.
So that's porn, everybody. Though. That's not like an interaction. That's virtual reality porn.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Very cool.
Interesting. Yes.
Okay. So off the topic of robots and things like
yes.
that, I had a look. It's kind of maybe soft for you guys, but I had a look at different ways that maybe technology can improve a relationship and mm-hmm. scheduling and things like that. Relationship.
Mm.
So scheduling was one of the things. So if you share a calendar with your partner, supposedly that kind of improves the relationship as well, because then each of you know when the other one's free and all that kind of stuff.
So there's an app called, I think it's called Clue.
Yeah.
So Clue, what that does is it starts to measure and communicate your menstrual cycle. So it allows your partner to observe where you are in your cycle. So firstly, for people who are not
trying
using any kind of contraception,
yeah.
it tells you when things are safe, when things are not.
Cool.
But the other thing that it does, and I spoke to a couple on the weekend.
Yeah.
And they said the one amazing thing was it allowed them to regulate and to see where they were emotionally and hormonally. Nice. So if she was going to get premenstrual and have all the premenstrual symptoms, he could see when that was coming and plan for it. And his thing was, that's when I go fishing. That's when I go fishing for the weekend because then I know it's set. And in terms of her cycle, because, you know, different women get turned on at different times of their cycle.
Yeah.
So for some women, ovulation is a time of great arousal. Yeah. And for some, it's not.
Yeah.
And for her, ovulation was a time of great arousal. So she was able to say, and they were able to see, okay, this is coming. Now we can prepare for it. And there's like 4 or 5 days of wildness.
Oh, cool.
And this whole thing in their cycle.
You know,
but it was an app it's just a really interesting
that
idea.
That saying always makes me giggle, there's an app for that. So now there's an app for that as well. Yeah, I love that.
There's and really an app for everything.
Could work out when, what was happening.
So the next one they also mentioned was sexting, which we all know about.
Yes, sure.
And we know that creates,
And we've come up with some really cool sexting games. We'll share them with you at the end of the show.
That'd be great. Virtual toys, which we've just discussed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's always fun.
So there is a toy that I heard about that's a vibrator that you put inside the yoni.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an app that connects it to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you program it with your favorite songs. And the songs determine the vibration.
That's just
so
showing
you think
off.
About different music would determine the vibration.
Yeah.
Like more upbeat, quicker, faster, slower, different rhythms.
So if you're in a romantic mood, you get the
mixtape will never have the same meaning.
No, so you
what
know,
is your favorite?
If you were like at a trance party like we were on the weekend, got some really hectic trance stuff going on, that would be like, would you even be able to cope with
you'd
that?
Be done.
Like pussy beat, pussy pulse. That would be the name, like pussy
really,
pulse.
Really interesting day.
Well, but we are responding to rhythm. So when you put nice music, you move your pelvis sometimes in that sense.
It
works.
It's sensuality behind it.
Yes.
Well. Yeah. No, that's lovely.
I think it's nice to connect to the idea of there are elements that are helping you to get aroused and to get into the experience, not expecting for it to be spontaneous and always, you know, like, oh, we should just go at it.
Mm.
But prepare, get that app, know when you're getting horny, know which songs are going to,
seduce yourself kind
seduce
of thing.
Yourself. Exactly.
Get yourself drunk, throw in a few eye drops.
Get your robot from the cupboard. Say, you know, wear something nice for your robot. Mm. You know, once Siri got involved, and we'll listen to Siri climaxing just now. When Siri got involved, I know a lot of people, even normal, just wanted to try and see what happens if you tell Siri. If some people don't know, it's the technological or assistant of that Apple really developed to say, yes, sir, please, sir, you know, and I love you or I want you. Mm. And they did it as a joke, but actually they found it's actually touching a part of them.
Yeah.
So somebody saying that.
The virtual space becomes quite interesting for role play.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, definitely. Mm. I think because you are, again, going back to this documentary, I'm sorry to say, it's again, she won't talk back to me. She won't do this. She won't do that. And I mean, to me, that's the exciting part, you know, because who's in charge kind of thing. It's that backwards and forwards. Mm. But for some people, they obviously have had enough of being downtrodden or whatever it is, and they want to be able to turn it around and be like, I'm the boss and I'm in charge here, you know. So I do understand that.
Yeah.
That sort of need.
But again,
it.
You do need to take it out of that virtual space into life for it to be authentic ultimately.
You know, that is worrying, I think, because a lot of people can just tuck themselves away behind. It's the same thing with games or gamers. They just generally, you know, they immerse themselves in this online life you don't experience real life, which is worrying often for me because I often listen to my friends who compare themselves to people. And I'm going off the topic here a little bit, but you compare yourself, oh, this person's life on Instagram, this person's life on Facebook, and you just keep withdrawing because you think you're not good enough. Meanwhile, they're just showing you the best bits, you know.
Always.
They're really just showing you the best bits. They've also, you know, couldn't get out of bed that morning, but then somebody I don't know, gave them a cup of coffee or inspired them to go stand at the top of Radisson and let's take a few pictures or whatever it is, you know? And that to me is always worrying, that technology is going to take over and give people a space to hide behind or to tuck
already,
themselves away
because,
in a dark room.
You know, you look at the personas on so many dating sites, for example, and they're not real people.
No.
What's presented is nothing close to what the person or who the person really is.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you meet somebody, firstly, their picture looks nothing like them because it's a picture from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Or it's not even them.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that they put out there has nothing to do with what's real, with who they are.
Which again is a scary point, you know, with the whole catfishing thing. You're out there putting out a persona of one person.
Okay, now you're going to have to explain that.
Okay,
I love John. He's just like, what?
So catfishing is, it's actually a program called Catfish. It's this guy, Neve, he was actually, he thought he was talking to a very beautiful girl, you know, talking about art and all that kind of stuff. And then when he eventually tracked her down, turned out she was like a middle-aged 50-year-old woman, and he's still friends with her. He was very forgiving, but obviously had his heart broken in that sense because he'd revealed so much stuff. But then it turned out that in America, I'm sure it happens here as well, but his show is based in America. He found lots of people, so he's turned it into, so he had the movie The Catfish, and now MTV has a series called Catfish, and he and another guy who's a videographer, big director kind of thing, they go around and they hear each people's stories and they help people find the person that they're in love with online.
Wow.
And usually, you know, they're miles away or they're just around the corner, but they've had this online relationship with somebody for years and they've never met them. So they go and find and they give them the means to find these people. And it does happen that it's a great relationship, but sometimes it's somebody in the neighborhood trying to get back at somebody else and blah, blah, blah. And again, how do you trust someone? Why not? Just go sit at home, cuddle your robot, you know, that's going to have the feeling of skin and have a heartbeat in a couple of years' time. You know, it might all be fake, but at least it'll make you feel warm and fuzzy, you know.
But the other thing about online relationships is that when you meet, the energy is so different very often.
Mm.
That online there could be this amazing seeming chemistry.
Yes.
But it's very contextual.
Yes.
And you put the same two people in the same room together and there is absolutely nothing.
So
and that's a huge thing with the online relationships.
Again, with online, I know that a lot of girls that I teach they have these huge personalities on Instagram. I obviously follow some of them. But then when you get to meet them in person, they really have no confidence, completely shy, all that kind of stuff. And I can see how things can be misleading. You then meet this person who you thought was chirpy and witty and so much fun and bubbly and had, you know, all this knowledge. You meet this person and they're not like that at all. And you think, well, you know, you feel like you've been duped. But online gives you the chance to be whatever you want to be, you know.
True.
So, So back to the point, like it's no wonder people go back to technology.
Yeah.
It's a safe space for them, or they feel it's a safe space.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it's every now and then something comes up. It's this little set of pictures. It's about sexual healers and tantra teachers and things like that. And it's this whole set of pictures of what people think I do.
Mm.
What my parents think I do, what my friends think
I
do, what the world thinks, and what I really do. It's like, you know, a lot of my time in my office is spent listening to people with very serious issues and problems.
Yes,
there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty. And that's what an enormous amount of it is.
Mm.
And 2 weeks ago, we did this big orgasm show, and people think it's all like that.
Yeah.
And it's a very small slice of this really big pie.
Mm.
And again, it's what this virtual world has created.
But also in your case, I mean, you did that great ad on a Facebook group, and you were, you know, just about teaching about sexual healing and massage and intimate, da da da. And there were so many people so offended by that when actually it's a very open-minded group, and people had to start coming to your defense because people, you know, we don't accept this kind of behavior and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, but this is supposed to be an open platform, spirituality, all that.
Well, the interesting,
I don't know if you remember that. And I was angry because I felt like nobody's even looked at the thing properly. Nobody's researched you. Everybody just jumped on the bandwagon and went for it. And that's the danger of online again.
So there's some fascinating things with that.
And
the first one was that, yes, it was supposed to be a very open group of people, which was interesting.
Yes.
The other interesting thing was that when it came to the more, let's say, salacious aspects of this work, they were so happy with that.
Mm.
But when it came to anything deeper and more serious, mm-hmm. that touched them. So nothing pushes buttons like sex does. Nothing pushes our buttons and goes as deep as sex does. So there was a particular woman who started that whole conversation. We were at a music event, at a trance event a couple of days later, and somebody introduced her to us.
Oh, goodness. How did that go?
I didn't know who she was at the time. So my friend Charlie was sitting there, and Charlie said, "There's Jennifer, there's Jonty and Chantal." And we said, "Cool, nice to meet you." And off we went, and had a really cool day. It was her, but I didn't know that. And that night, I got the most amazing message of explanation and apology from her.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was really, really beautiful. And since then, she has had some engagement with us.
Oh,
and
good.
It's a learning journey. You know, you have to look at a bigger picture. And sex pushes people's buttons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the deeper we go into it, the deeper the buttons it pushes.
Yeah.
And that's why it's the most amazing platform for learning, for self-exploration, for growth, for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. But what I was going to say, but you can see on with her reaction, not that she's that kind of person, but with that kind of reaction, you can see how people withdraw because other people might have been enthusiastic, but because a judgmental comment came across, you know, other people will withdraw and rather do things at home in their, you know, they don't want to open themselves up to these things.
That's
know,
why we're
or,
starting,
or criticism or anything like
that's
that.
That's why we're starting to look at more webinars and things like that to be able to share the information with people. So again, that's an amazing use of technology to be able to reach people in that way.
Mm. And I think, I mean, last time we were here as well, when I was talking about technology, I was talking about the long distance relationships as well. I mean, technology just has saved. So look, everybody thinks they don't work, but I think it has saved a lot of relationships as well. I mean,
definitely.
You know, you have the WhatsApp calling, the video calling, you can send pictures to each other, which we don't always advocate because you never know, you know, where that's going to go. But, you know, there's all these, and now virtual reality, for instance, is going to make it even easier because now you can have a full on sexual experience because you can either tune into that person or you can actually really touch them and that kind of stuff. I mean, I was without my husband for nearly a year and a half. So we saw each other once a month, but it just, I mean, you know what it's like at the beginning of a relationship. You just never want to, you don't want to be away from that person. Yeah. And that's, I think that's sort of what saved us as well. Also, what I think saved us is the fact that you couldn't get involved sexually too quickly. We had to hold out. We had to see how it was. So we could talk about it, but nothing ever happened. And then when it did eventually, you know, after 3 months of just talking, when it does happen, you've already grown a love for that person. You've already chatted about everything you can. It's not like you can just jump in. Not that I don't have a problem with jumping in bed, but, you know, it's not about just jumping in bed with that person and then not, you know, not understanding why they're not there anymore or why they've decided to go somewhere else.
So it'll be really interesting to hear Stu's take on
well, I think he was very frustrated.
Yes, but interesting thing there is that a lot of attractions are just that. They're attractions, and we tend to think they're relationships.
Mm.
So when you just jump into the sexual part of it, that's absolutely fine. And very often that's all there is with people.
Yeah.
So when you have time to get to know somebody differently, something else develops.
Yeah.
That you really get to know the person.
Yeah.
And it's not just that
you're forced to get
attraction.
To know the person.
Yeah.
You know, you really are. But I will tell you, because we met on Tinder, and I will tell you that I pretended I was a Chinese boy trying to extort money from him first. So he's actually into Chinese boys, just so it's on record, public record, that he prefers Chinese boys over girls. So there we go. it's just because that's how I am. I joke around and, you know, that's how you test somebody's sense of humor. And then he loved
does
it.
Does he prefer Chinese boys to you?
I flip and hope not.
You don't look like a Chinese boy so much, so
he
I think
he's telling me he likes boobs, so that's I'm hoping that they don't have any boobs.
No, Chinese men definitely don't have boobs.
So it's, you know, it's those kinds of things. So I could have had that personality online, and then when he'd met me, not been like that at all.
Mm.
And that's always the problem with online, sort of starting an online relationship, you know.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to what are you presenting?
Mm.
And you're going to present something that's not really authentic.
Yeah.
You're going to present what's going to be liked, what's going to draw people. And that's
Do you think that some people maybe want to be like that?
Of course, they do.
Like I think about like I was talking about the girls that I teach. They're all really bubbly and chirpy and they've got good, you know, good comebacks. And with me, they're quite funny. But I can see when they're around anybody else that the withdrawal is huge. So I can't imagine that they're they obviously want to be those kind. I just don't understand what's stopping them from being that kind of person.
Safety. So we will
humiliation,
allow,
maybe.
So we will allow ourselves out when we feel safe. And at some point in their lives, fair chance they didn't feel safe. So whether that's been a long-term thing, whether they didn't feel safe from family, whether they didn't feel safe at school, or whether it was some guy who...
And an age thing, do you think maybe because they're, cause they're all just about to come into like teenage years and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's a really, that's a big thing as well. Yeah. Because it's a time of enormous insecurity. Bodies are changing, hormones are changing, they're kind of raging in a way.
Yeah.
And they have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
In the world. And it does. It takes time for that. But a lot of that does come from the more nurtured you are at home and the more you're allowed to express that, the more that confident will be a part of your character.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah.
So it, those patterns start really, really young. You know, there's a, at the moment, the current thinking is that most of our life patterns are set between about age 6 and 8.
Oh, really?
For all of our lives. And all that we do then is we just plug those patterns into the different aspects of our lives.
Oh, wow.
So your relationship patterning, for example, comes from your parents.
Yeah.
That's what you see. That's what you get.
Yeah.
And when you start having romantic or sexual relationships, all that you do is you plug that patterning into the relationship.
Yeah.
So a very interesting thing. Terence McKenna, who is the father of psilocybin mushrooms, wrote a fascinating book called Food of the Gods, which has some amazing insights into human development. And he talks in this about the paradox of being human in terms of where these really intelligent, advanced adults in some way with incredibly childlike characteristics. And that's the paradox, that a lot of our emotional response or emotional reaction rather is childlike.
Yes.
Because of the patterns that we're carrying.
Yeah.
So a lot of men, for example, are emotional children.
A lot, or all of them.
Claire, let's be careful here now. Yes.
Ooh, that was kind of hot.
Let's be careful here now. But a lot of men, at some point, there's some emotional kind of trauma in some way, and that's where emotionally they stop. So they're not emotional men. Physically, they're men.
It's undeveloped. Yeah, it's undeveloped.
Intellectually, they're men.
It's infant.
But emotionally, the same. They stop. And we live in this very paradoxical space of being human. And I don't think we fully understand that paradox.
Yeah.
So we put enormous judgment on it and we keep kind of striving to be this. But until we go and heal some of those things and understand that we're coming from a childlike space in certain aspects of our lives, until then we'll continue to do that. So it creates this internal conflict in a way, because intellectually you're in one space.
Yeah, sure.
So intellectually you're in this adult space, this intelligent space. But the emotional response that you have doesn't match that.
Yeah.
And that creates within us enormous internal conflict. And we don't know which one to be at any given time. And that creates enormous things. And especially in South Africa, for example, and a lot of the Western world is the same. You know, boys don't cry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boys don't have feelings.
Yeah.
So you do that. And then you get involved in a corporate world, corporate type job. And it takes you away from that humanness. And that's one of the things that technology does. It takes us away from that humanness.
And I don't think there's time for the psychic to, for the real psychology process to happen, because technology is evolving so quick. We don't have time to adapt. Humans have changed their patterns, like long distance relationship. This was not real till a few years ago. You know,
a
your husband went away. So you never knew if you're going to see him ever again, if he didn't die somewhere from a disease or, you know, war or whatever, or hunger, or just found somebody else and stayed, which still happens. But we can't understand. And what Jonty's talking about, this has been around for a long time. So for a long time, we, you know, men has been denying their emotions.
Yes.
And then comes all those solutions that just, for the brain, for the thinking mind, it looks so appealing. But there's no way we can do this evolutionary jump from being emotional creatures that need to be fulfilled and need to have mindfulness and need to be held and can't be touched. Starved, because people are dying right now in the world, especially in Eastern countries that Japan, like, you know, kids sit in a room and literally do not want to leave the room. It's safer to be in front of a computer. And it's scary because we are still humans.
Mm.
We can't avoid consciousness. We can't avoid a journey.
That's what makes us human as well, yeah. You know. Yeah.
So we need some very different ways of looking at all of this and dealing and integrating with it.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I have to say, I'm still technologically a little bit of a Luddite in terms of so much of my world is online.
Oh, but we all are. I mean, nobody can know everything where technology is concerned. Yeah.
No. And I'm really so grateful for the people in my life who can help and do all these things, Charlie and Chanti and everybody else involved in our things, because otherwise it would take me forever, if it happened at all.
No, you do what you're doing. You're very good at that. You do what you do.
And it's really awesome.
You're the front man. That's what you are. Yeah.
So Claire, now we're going to do an experiment. Awesome. Say, Jonty, let's go play. You say that?
Jonty, let's go play.
And that's a human says it, and then we're going to do Siri.
Play.
Is it sexy? You like it?
No.
No. Play. Let's try it again.
Unless you're German, maybe.
Play.
Play.
No. That's Siri saying, let's go play. Play.
Fuck off.
Shanti's not convinced.
Anyway, we're going to walk down the beach for some crab cakes, Shanti and I, and that's really beautiful and peaceful and happy up in Mozambique.
And you won't have Siri shouting at you.
No, and you can play with your phone. And we're going to sit and listen to the sound of the ocean.
I want to think maybe it's arousing. That. Maybe it can make me come or something. I don't know.
Play.
Well,
bit BDSM-ish like, like known emotion. Maybe is there? I wonder if there is a term for a person who gets turned on with for no emotions.
Of course, there
is
somewhere.
Must be.
Yeah, there is somewhere.
Yeah.
So what else did you find there?
I found a fitness tracking.
Yeah.
Is good for a relationship.
Fitness tracking is good for a relationship.
You know how
Explain
we all
that.
Wear? Well. Us.
No, some of us. Some of us like get in the pool and we swim. Some of
and
us
enjoy it.
Walk. And we're not too
we're not
concerned.
Counting our steps.
That's right.
Or our strokes, Jonty. We're not counting our strokes.
Well, actually, I kind of do. And that puts me kind of like in a meditative space,
okay,
you know?
Fair enough.
But beyond that, like get in the water and swim.
Okay, fair enough. So some people like to do the whole fitness tracking.
Yes, I get it.
So, you know, counting steps, heart rate, all that kind of stuff. And then there's, so the idea behind it is that couples who train together stay together. So a few sort of experiments have come about, or a few results have come about, that people who actually do their gymming together and maybe go up against each other in some sort of competitive nature have a better relationship. A better chance of saving their relationship because they're either competing against each other or they're doing something together that's not, you know. And we know that exercise is all about endorphins and da, 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 so that's all got to have, must have something to
Makes
do with
sense.
It.
Well, it does in a way. And the one thing that we're developing that hopefully we're going to put in a retreat soon is some beautiful partner yoga practices.
Oh, stunning.
That's very much about touch and breathing in yoga postures.
Yeah.
So really interesting.
Because I've seen, you know, the yoga postures where you do them together.
Yeah, the proper
so balancing
couple.
Off mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah.
Acrobalance.
So we're kind of
amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we're going to take that into a more intimate space for couples and partners.
Beautiful.
John, do you know why I think it's good? This awkward space of connecting that a lot of mind-oriented or people that just are in their heads, thinkers, they're functional, you know, you need to be functional with a family, this perfect woman, this perfect guy, get up in the morning, all, you know, everything sorted, the kids, 6 o'clock, they're out with their healthy breakfast, with their gymming together, whatever they do. And then it becomes very awkward to share that space of vulnerability and physical vulnerability as well. And breathing becomes foreign. Eye contact, becoming goofy together, having sex in a way that not necessarily pounding like porn. It's not what we see in TV. It's actually a lot of waiting
sloppy
for
sex.
Each other. It's sloppy sex. So that's a whole different topic. But we actually get to that space that we don't want to feel uncomfortable. And it's so important to feel uncomfortable and then to feel comfortable. And in that context, you actually can regain just being in a physical, you know, it's a language. It's a physical language. You breathe together. You look in each other's eyes. You give each other without verbal. Because, no, I don't like when you do that. Stop that. You know, there's so much criticism or verbal interaction in bed. But trust me, I want to feel your body. How do you breathe? How do you lean against me? I want to have your body weight on me.
I've said a while ago, and I wrote an article about this quite recently, that all touch is a conversation.
Mm.
And that's the touch of your eyes, the touch of your breath, the touch of your mouth, the touch of your skin, that it's a conversation. And in a relationship, most of the communication is not verbal. So there's a fascinating thing in that, and this is where, and it comes up so much in the work that I do. What happens is, because most of the communication is not verbal, there's this connection between us. What I will not express goes somewhere underneath to you. If you express it, you express it as anger or frustration or resentment or confusion because it's not yours. What you want to express goes to me in the same way. If I express it, I express it as anger, resentment, frustration, confusion, whatever, because it's not mine. And eventually the gap between us starts to narrow and narrow and still until it breaks. And that's when the relationship essentially is done. So it's one of the reasons that it's so important to own your own stuff in a relationship because if I don't, it goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then if there are kids involved, the kids will express it, and a lot of children carry what their parents would not. They will carry what their parents would not own. So they'll carry their parents' anger. They'll carry their parents' frustration, their parents' insecurities, because we won't own it. It's got to go somewhere because it's an energy.
Mm.
So it's got to go somewhere. And if I won't own it, then my child will pick that up. And that's one of the reasons that we breed the kind of kids that we do, because we don't take ownership of our emotional stuff.
Yeah.
So our kids just simply carry that pattern. And that's where so many of the generational patterns come from, that I am carrying stuff that my father, that my grandfather would not express.
Mommy, what is this here?
Being carried down. And that's what it is that we do with it.
In four generations from now. Mommy, what is this robot doing next to you? And then it will be like, think of the mind fuck of a child. And like, what is the evolution is going? How are we going to own loving robots? How are we going to own it? What kind of, then we completely, we will become ourselves.
But
cyborg.
Isn't there a movie about a guy that falls in love with his robots?
Her.
Yes.
Well, with her intelligence.
I haven't watched it yet, but
it's really beautiful. It's more emotional.
Al Pacino, I think it was.
Oh, no, I saw a different one. Which one did you see?
No, it was one with Al Pacino where he creates this virtual woman.
Oh, that I didn't see. No, I saw her.
It's also amazing.
Which is about, with Scarlett Johansson. There we go.
So we got a message here. I don't know if it applies to us, but let's say it does. If I get it right, can I get an interview to work there? So is she referring to guessing what phallocentric is or phallophilia? And if you get it right, can you get an interview to work here? Maybe. I don't know what you can do, that girl, Sonny. So take a guess at what phallophilia is, and if you get it right, then
we'll definitely move your CV forward to the great management here. Yeah. Phallophilia.
So phallophilia is, let's give you all the answer, is an attraction for big cocks.
Claire is dead silent. Like,
no, but
dead.
Huge ones or just big ones?
Big ones.
Well, you pick. How big do you want it to be?
but I think,
okay, now we're getting into interesting territory. Is Stuart listening this morning?
Well, I think he kind of thought
he's going to download everything.
Tell him you can listen till minute 50. That's fine.
Okay, Stu, next Friday morning, please message us your take on this. We'd love to hear.
I think if it's a fit, not a fetish, but if it's a liking, I think it's big cocks, like like relatively small big cocks, like the ones you see.
Like the ones people joke about.
Yes, like the arm size.
Okay, so it didn't specify size. It's big. Okay, you pick the size, whatever's big for you. Because big for some person is not necessarily big for somebody else.
Okay,
it's
fair.
All a relative perspective.
Yeah.
Okay,
very simple. A big cock is impressive, must be honest.
So here are some cell phone games you can play.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
We said some tech games that you can play with your cell phone. So the first one is that you go to the mall, like wherever you're going to have lunch. Take a picture of any normal object in the window of a shop or in a shop. Send the picture to your partner, and they got to tell you what they could do sexually with that.
Cool. Interesting.
And then they do the same thing. They send you a picture, and you got to tell them what you can do with it.
I don't trust you with that one.
All of a sudden, the technology thing and the Chinese boys are going to come out, and all of a sudden, he's like, cricket bats.
Well, payback.
You know, I know you guys like markets, so wandering around one of the food markets, what could you come up with? Or what could you go down with?
And then you go to
a pretty cool one.
I like it.
Go to a changing room and take a photo, a dirty photo, and send while he's waiting for you in the restaurant. That's also sexy.
And then go to somewhere. Sit and have coffee. And this is more it's not really a tech game, but it's a cool game for couples. It's a real cool fantasy game. And look at the people around you and tell each other the story of what those people enjoy sexually and what they do.
Fun. I like that.
That will become a very, very funny conversation that might not be sexy.
That can get really out of hand, and that can get really pretty cool.
I like it.
So that's a lot of fun one.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you can do is, and this is also cool with your phone, is you start an erotic conversation. So you just send your partner a few lines, and they're going to reply. So it's not necessarily a fantasy. It can be, but it's just carrying the conversation on. But if it's just a few lines at a time, it gets really interesting as opposed to like a whole fantasy thing.
Yeah.
Because the cool thing is it allows you to actually occupy quite different personas. So one of the really cool ways to play with that is switch genders.
Oh, cool.
In the conversation. Take on the opposite gender of what you are.
Interesting.
And that's a really cool way to do it.
Cool.
Something to do for the weekend?
Yes.
And if you want to send us your conversation, we would love to hear it. Share it with us. Very cool.
And I think sex technology can do wonders when you're looking for different spots and when you are encouraging. That's my take for now. That if I'm using something, I haven't done the virtual reality thing. I'm actually going to search it and see how you can have an experience, because there's sometimes like conferences and stuff and they invite you to go, which will be interesting. Mm. Is it like live orgasm thing? You like have sex on the virtual reality space. But it can be wonderful. It can be wonderful as an experience, as something new. I just don't really, I can't wrap my thoughts around having a relationship or getting all my, I don't know, what gets me going is an emotional connection. Mm. It's real emotional connection.
Excitement of a relationship.
Or just, you know, body reactions, breathing.
But in a world of separation and disconnect.
That's all you've got.
That's it. And for some people, if that's what they have, then that's what they have.
Mm.
And on one level, it's offering something. On another level, there's incredible sadness.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting thing that somebody sent to us this week was in Norway. To try and wean kids off porn and show them what is real about sex. So the understanding is that so many young people are getting sex education from watching porn, and they think that this is what porn or this is what sex should be like, which leads to enormous disappointment and frustration. They are looking for real couples to go on TV there, on national TV, to have sex, to show people what real sex is like. That it's awkward, that it's fumbling, that not everybody looks like an amazing Hollywood type body.
Exactly.
The lighting's not always
not every
great.
Pair of boobs and yoni and cock looks the way they do. And it's a fascinating idea. They're doing some very advanced things over there. The mind boggles at what we would come up with in South Africa.
Yeah, and I'd love to see the reaction. Like how many people have turned around and said, oh yeah, I'll do that. In the name of education, it's
absolutely
on TV. You know?
There we go. Our exhibitionist and voyeuristic activities and proclivities come to the fore. Mm. And that is really, really cool.
Mm.
But Jonty, that's a very interesting, kind of a combat. But it's like an answer, like we interviewed the sexy smarts, and kids know. Kids will have sex. Kids will look. Kids in the age of 8 are exposed to porn. So why don't we just understand sex is not going anywhere, and we can bring it to them in a real way, in a connected way, in a safe way, in a pleasure-driven way, and not fear-based and hide as parents, as, you know, as people that are responsible to the future generation. Yeah.
Claire, thank you so much.
You're amazing.
It's been lots of fun. And I keep saying this, but you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's very cool. And I wish you all so much pleasure.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.